Madhava Punyabihari. His divine grace today is the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Dantaraj Simad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Bo Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All grace to the Assamadavati. All grace to the Assamadavati. All grace to the Assamadavati. All grace to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, answers by citing the Lord's version, text number 13. Word meanings, yavat, as it is, sakha, friend, sakyu, unto the friend, iva, like that, isha, O Lord, te, you, kritaha, have accepted, praja, the living entities, visarge, in a matter of creation, vibhajami, as I shall do it differently. Bo, O my Lord, janam, those who are born, aviklava, without being perturbed, te, your, parikarmani, in a matter of service, sthitaha, thus situated, ma, may it never be, may unto me, samunadha, resulting arise, madaha, madness, aja, O unborn one, manina, thus being thought of. Yavat sakha sakyuri veshate krita. Praja visarge vibhajami bhojanam. Aviklavaste parikarmani stito. Mame samudnadha mado jamanina. Yavat sakha sakyuri veshate krita. Praja visarge vibhajami bhojanam. Aviklavaste parikarmani stito. Mame samudnadha mado jamanina. Yavat sakha sakyuri veshate krita. Praja visarge vibhajami bhojanam. Aviklavaste parikarmani stito. Mame samudnadha mado yatmanina. Yavat sakha sakyuri veshate krita. Praja visarge vibhajami bhojanam. Aviklavaste parikarmani stito. Name samudnadha mado jamanina. Yavat sakha sakyuri veshate krita. Praja visarge vibhajami bhojanam. Aviklavaste paritamanishtito. Mame samudnabha madhojamanina. Yavatsaka sakyurivesate krita. Prajavi sarge vibhajami bhojana. Aviklavaste parikarma nishtito. Mame sanam nadha mano. Yavatsaka sakyurivesate krita. Prajavi sarge vibhajami bhojanam. Aviklavaste parikarma nishtito. Mame samunnadha marojanam. Translation. O my Lord, the unborn, you have shaken hands with me, just as a friend does with a friend, as if equal in position. I shall be engaged in the creation of different types of living entities, and I shall be occupied in your service. I shall have no perturbation. But I pray that all this may not give rise to pride, as if I were the supreme. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Brahma is definitely situated in the humor of friendship with the Lord. Every living being is eternally related with the personality of Godhead in one of five different transcendental humors, namely Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. We have already discussed these five kinds of humors in relationship with the personality of Godhead. It is clearly exhibited herein that Lord Brahma is related to the personality of Godhead in the transcendental humor of friendship. A pure devotee may be related with the Lord in any one of the transcendental humors, even in the humor of parenthood, but the devotee of the Lord is always a transcendental servitor. No one is equal to or greater than the Lord. That is the version of the Bhagavad Gita. Brahmaji, although eternally related with the Lord in the transcendental humor of friendship, and although entrusted with the most exalted post of creating different grades of living entities, is still conscious of his position, that he is neither the Supreme Lord nor supremely powerful. It is possible that some extremely powerful personality within or without the universe may sometimes show more power than the Lord himself. Still, the pure devotee knows that this power is a vibhuti delegated by the Lord, and such a delegated, powerful living entity is never independent. Sri Hanumanji crossed the Indian Ocean by jumping over the sea, and Lord Ramchandra engaged himself in marching over the bridge. But this does not mean that Hanumanji was more powerful than the Lord. Sometimes the Lord gives extraordinary powers to his devotee, but the devotee knows always that the power belongs to the personality of Godhead and that the devotee is only an instrument. The pure devotee is never puffed up like the non-devotee class of men who falsely think that they are God. It is astonishing to see how a person who is being kicked by the laws of the Lord's illusory energy at every step can falsely think of becoming one with the Lord. Such thinking is the last snare of the illusory energy offered to the conditioned soul. The first illusion is that he wants to become lord of the material world by accumulating wealth and power. But when he is frustrated in that attempt, he wants to be one with the Lord. So both becoming the most powerful man in the material world and desiring to become one with the Lord are different illusory snares. And because the pure devotees of the Lord are surrendered souls, they are above the illusory snares of Maya. Because Lord Brahma is a pure devotee, even though the first dominating deity in the material world, and therefore able to do many wonderful things, he would never, like the non-devotee with a poor fund of knowledge, have the audacity to think of becoming one with the Lord. People with a poor fund of knowledge should take lessons from Brahma when they are puffed up with the false notion of becoming God. Factually, Lord Brahma does not create the living entities. In the beginning of the creation, he is empowered to give different bodily shapes to the living entities according to their work during the last millennium. Brahmaji's duty is just to wake the living entities from their slumber and to engage them in their proper duty. The different grades of living entities are not created by Brahmaji by his capricious whims, but he is entrusted with the task of giving the living entities different grades of body so that they can work accordingly. And still he is conscious that he is only instrumental, so that he may not think of himself as the supreme powerful Lord. Devotees of the Lord are engaged in the specific duty offered by the Lord, and such duties are successfully carried out without hindrance because they are ordained by the Lord. The credit of success goes not to the doer, but to the Lord. But persons with a poor fund of knowledge take the credit of success in their own accounts and give nothing to the credit of the Lord. That is the symptom of the non-devotee class of men. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om jnana timirantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militamena tasmai shri gurave namaha. O my Lord, the unborn, you have shaken hands with me, just as a friend does with a friend, as if equal in position. I shall be engaged in the creation of different types of living entities, and I shall be occupied in your service. I shall have no perturbation. But I pray that all this may not give rise to pride, as if I were the supreme. My purport opens with a surprising statement, at least surprising to me. Lord Brahma is definitely situated in the humor of friendship with the Lord. We usually don't think of Lord Brahma that way, do we? And the way he's interacting with the Lord now, he's acting like a servant, and he's thinking of himself as a servant. Actually, every devotee thinks of himself as a servant of the Lord, even if he's in a more equal kind of position with the Lord. When Prabhupada is pointing out here that a pure devotee may be related with the Lord in any one of the transcendental humors, even in the humor of parenthood, but the devotee is always a transcendental servitor. So you can see what Prabhupada is pointing out, parenthood, because parenthood is obviously a superior position. But even in this position of parent, even if God is your son, still you think of him as that you're serving him. This actually comes out in the when Uddhava goes to visit Nanda Maharaj, he goes to Vrindavan, of course, on Krishna's behalf, on Krishna's order. So when he's talking to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, of course, you know the scene, it's a very beautiful scene. They're having this conversation, Uddhava and Nanda Maharaj, and Yashoda doesn't say anything, she just cries. She has her eyes closed and she's just crying the whole time. She can't even speak. She can't even open her eyes since Krishna has left. So her heart is so broken, she's feeling so much separation from Krishna. But there's this whole discussion, and in Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary in the Sarartha Darshani, you know, the typical thing that he does, he says, well, this is actually what's being said here. This is what it means. So he has a lot of thoughts that Nanda Maharaj is going through. And he's being told, actually, by Uddhava, that your son is actually God. You know, he's worshipped as God. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's sort of, you know, like this expression, water off a duck's back. It's sort of, maybe it comes, but he doesn't really take it seriously. But at some point, but he does actually say, or at least Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expresses this thought, that, yes, actually, because I'm his servant. Everyone in Vrindavan thinks like that, actually. That I'm my business is to serve Krishna, or this is what I want to do, put it that way. They feel inspired that I just want to do something for Krishna. Of course, this is what prema is. This is what real love for Krishna is. You're just inspired. Not that you're thinking how much fun I'm going to have with Krishna, but you're thinking, how can I make sure that Krishna has fun? In other words, I want to please Krishna. I want to see that Krishna is pleased. I was reading this particular mood that the devotee has, because sometimes it doesn't come out very clearly to us. We think, actually, what the gopis want and what the coward boys want, they want to enjoy with the Krishna. But it's actually not what, that may appear that way to us on the surface, but their whole mood is about serving Krishna. And that's why even when Krishna meets with the gopis and Radharani at Kurukshetra, we see that Radharani she's not happy there. We know this whole way it's so beautifully given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the context of the Rath Yatra pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Radharani's not happy, and they're even, you know, the shlokas about she just wants to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. And you think it's all about, she's not enjoying, and that's the problem. But it's actually not like that. The acharyas explain what she really thinks, and this also comes out sometimes in the prayers. They're thinking, well, Krishna can't be enjoying, because Krishna enjoys with us in Vrindavan. That's really what he wants. And of course, that's true. Krishna is always thinking of the residents of Vrindavan. This comes out in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And even the queens of Krishna, sometimes they talk about it. They say, yeah, sometimes in his sleep he says, oh, Radha. They know about the Brajvasis in Dwarka. They know what kind of love Krishna has for the Brajvasis. So the devotees are thinking, not that I want to enjoy with Krishna, but they're thinking, no, I'm the servant of Krishna. In fact, also at Kurukshetra, when all the queens talk about, they're telling Draupadi about how they were married, how Krishna was able to get them somehow or other, and they became his wives. But what do they say? They don't say, then I became Krishna's wife. They say, no, I was so fortunate, now I'm a maidservant in his house. I think pretty much everyone that's in the, they speak one after the other, the major queens, and they all say that. Now I've gotten the fortune out of his mercy to become a maidservant in his house. So the devotees, they think in that way. I just want to serve Krishna. This is their love. So Lord Brahma, of course, he, even from our particular point of view, we don't think he's about enjoying with Krishna, like the way that we see the residents of Vrindavan. But he's actually, as Prabhupada points out here, he has this relationship of friendship with the Lord. So this is quite shocking, because friendship, the sakya rasa, usually is described as having two divisions, naturally. It has the brajvasis, and then they have that's one kind of sakya, I forget the name. But then there's the other one, it's called pura or purti sakya, which means his relationship with those who don't live in the village of Vrindavan, they live in the city. They live in Mathura or Dwarka. So that's like Arjuna and the Pandavas and so on. They, or at least the older Pandavas, like Arjuna, of course, and in Vrindavan, in Dwarka, there are others who have a kind of friendly relationship. Like Uddhava, Uddhava is somewhat mixed, but those who live in the city, they have a particular kind of friendship with Krishna, and those in Braja, they have a different kind of relationship with Krishna. So that's usually what we think of. So we think, oh, how does Lord Brahma fit in here? Why is Prabhupada saying this? Well, it seems to be implied here that the reason that he says this is because he's shaking hands with God. that's what friends do. That's Prabhupada seems to be. Of course, there are other indications. I'll mention some things, but this is the main point that Prabhupada is why he's saying this, because Narayan doesn't shake hands with people. He doesn't. That's not his thing. Even, of course, now, I was thinking, it's hard to think of an example today, because even the President of the United States, that's a big thing, they shake hands. Of course, especially when they're running for office, they want to shake hands with everybody. So, now I'm your friend, so vote for me. But Narayan, everything is awe and reverence in Vaikuntha. So, we tend to think what's going on here is that Lord Brahma is talking to Lord Vishnu or Lord Narayan. So there should be this awe and reverence. I think sometimes Lakshmi Narayan, there's certain interesting things about them that come to my mind. One is that they don't have any children. You think they're a married couple, but God doesn't have any kids. So I thought, well, maybe the reason is because kids mess up the protocol, you know? You can't be Lakshmi and Narayan and being worshipped in awe and reverence, and all of a sudden your kids come bouncing in and jump on your lap, and so so that's the mood there. There's everyone is in awe of Lord Narayan. No one is buddies. He's not. We don't hear about it, friendship, do we, in Vaikuntha? That he has his friends that he goes and plays with, whatever. You know. He plays with his wives. He plays with Lakshmi only in the back room where nobody sees. So actually, even Lakshmi, of course, she has this mood. Even Lakshmi herself seems to have this mood of reverence toward Narayan. So this is what we tend to think of Lord Narayan. So here we think, we hear about Brahma and friendship. We think, well how can that be? So as Prabhupada is saying here, he has a mood of friendship. So there are certain indications, and our acharyas have pointed this out, that actually Lord Krishna is interacting with Lord Brahma. One place this comes out, actually in the next verse, acharyas have pointed out, the next verse is the beginning of Krishna speaking. Now he has spoken just before this, of course, and then Lord Brahma is asking some questions, where he was speaking. You know, several verses about everything is coming from penance. We're hearing about penance. So then Lord Brahma asks him some questions. And he begins by answering in the next verse. Actually, usually we think of four nutshell verses. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he includes the two leading up to it. So he actually speaks about six verses. He puts these six verses together in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the verse that's coming tomorrow, Monday, it says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. So Bhagavan is speaking. Of course, the Swayam Bhagavan is Krishna himself. So an indication here is that he says he's going to give him rahasya. So rahasya means the most intimate knowledge. So what is the most intimate knowledge? That has to do with Krishna and his devotees. And he also says he's going to explain everything. So if he's going to explain everything, that means he's going to reveal the most intimate secrets to Lord Brahma. So this is sometimes taken to be an indication that Krishna is speaking here. Now in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, there's sometimes, you know, there are 108 main Upanishads, and people want to know where Krishna is. If Krishna is God, especially, you know, the scholars and speculators and so on. So, whereas Krishna doesn't really come out so much. In the Vedas, especially in the Shruti, Krishna tends to be hidden there. But we do have this one Upanishad, the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, which is clearly about Krishna. Now that is also Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is speaking to some brahmanas, and he's explaining his experience somewhat. And what he says, one of the first things he says, is that he appeared to me in a gopa vesh, in other words, dressed as a cowherd boy. He appeared to me as Gopal Krishna. So there, Lord Brahma, he's speaking directly with Krishna. Of course, he does also, we know, in Krishna's Balma Leela, when Krishna comes to this world, Brahma has this somewhat embarrassing interaction with Krishna, where he tests him. But then I was thinking that even after that, that Krishna allows him to speak with him. He doesn't just send him away after he did this, you know, he stole his friends. And Krishna's calves were also his friends. Krishna's calves and the cowherd boys, he stole them away. For 1 year, Krishna had to fill in for them. But then Krishna gave him the mercy of allowing him to speak to him, offer prayers to him. And there seems to be more reciprocation than when Indra offered prayers. When Indra offered prayers, Krishna was quite aloof, actually. He didn't really respond. But with Brahma, at least, the way Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur presents it, there's a bit of a conversation going on. He says, you know, Lord Brahma says something, and then Brahma is thinking, well, Krishna may be thinking this, you know, this response to what I'm saying. Of course, one of the things that Brahma says is that you are Narayana. And then Krishna is saying, no, I'm just a little kid, you know, playing with the cows here and herding the cows. And then and Brahma thinks, oh, I need to reply to that, what Krishna may have, how Krishna may have objected. So then he says the next verse and so on. So there's like dialogue going on. So this is also, in some sense, you could say it's a kind of a friendly interaction. So there is some, besides this idea that Krishna, again, not Vishnu, but Krishna. Of course, what's a little confusing is what we heard when Brahma performed his penance, and then we hear the Lord was pleased with him, so he showed him his abode. And clearly he showed him Vaikuntha, that was described earlier. He showed him Vaikuntha. And in fact, it was in that context that he saw Lord Vishnu there seated on his throne in Vaikuntha. And then he began speaking with him. Apparently he was somehow able to, not only was it a vision, but he was able to interact in that, within the context of that, he was able to speak with Lord Vishnu. So that conversation that we're hearing, it seems to have been being taken place in that context. But the acharyas say that at some point, it seems that Krishna or Lord Vishnu, the conversation becomes Krishna and Lord Brahma. He's actually talking with Krishna. And then, of course, we have these different descriptions of Krishna or Vishnu and Lord Brahma. And one of them is the Brahma Samhita that we recite every day. I was thinking, we've recited this over and over and over again, but I still am not exactly clear in my mind, how does this unfold exactly? Brahma, the Gayatri, and isn't that flute in there somewhere? How does it go exactly? So anyway, these things do go on, but somehow Lord Brahma is getting a Gayatri mantra, which is having to do with Krishna. He's not getting a mantra about Lord Vishnu, but he's getting a mantra having to do with Gopal Krishna, with Krishna. And even, actually it's interesting that I was reading, some devotee was making this observation, that generally many, of course, the Gaudiyas, they tend to lean towards the Madhurya side, Madhurya leela, the gopis. We're followers of the Goswamis who are all gopi, manjaris, and so on. And they see that Lord Brahma is actually somehow or other Madhurya. I don't know what the evidence is exactly. But Srila Prabhupada, for his own internal reasons, is seeing that Brahma's relationship is in Sakya. Of course, also from the evidence that he was reading here. So anyway, in the Gayatri Mantra, there is clearly a relationship with Krishna there, not Vishnu. And Krishna is speaking to him at the end of after Brahma's prayer, then Krishna himself speaks to him. And of course we have the refrain also in the verses, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. So even from that very phrase you could say he's referring to him as Govinda. Who is Govinda? Govinda is especially, that's who the cowherd boys interact with. You interact with Govinda especially. We tend to think of it that, because what does Govinda mean? He's herding the cows, Govinda, Gopal, and so on. So Lord Brahma is especially attracted to Krishna in that form. We can infer this, you could say, by the way he's offering his prayers. Now, of course, the prayer, because he's calling him Adi Purusha, then you would think, well, that's not Sakya. But this is another thing that comes up. I keep coming across this. I remember one time I was giving classes, this was a few years ago, and one devotee who comes sometime, and because I had mentioned something about the idea that the Brijvasis, they understand that Krishna's God. They do and they don't. That was the way I thought, because, and this devotee objected, no, they don't know he's God. And Prabhupada sometimes says it like this also. They don't know that he's God. But what it is, it's more like it's irrelevant. They're being told a lot. Even Krishna himself, when he sent Uddhava with a message for the gopis, he was telling them, I'm God. You know, you're never separated from me because I'm God. I'm everywhere. I'm in everything. I'm related to everything. But actually, this also comes out in Vishwanatha Chakravarti's commentaries, where he said he translates what Krishna is saying into gopi talk, you might say, into the language of the gopis. And they see it, you know, they read something else into what Krishna is saying. But they are told like that. And they also say, when Radharani is talking to the bumblebee, one of the things she says is that, you know, you're so cruel that when you were Lord Ram, you hid behind a tree to kill Sugriva, and when you were Vamanadev, mistreated Bali Maharaj, and so she criticizes him for his incarnations. So she's talking of Krishna to Krishna as if he was, you know, the source of all incarnations. So clearly God. And of course, also, after Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill, I was just reading the Sarata Darshani, this Leela, and the following, that chapter called Wonderful Krishna. And so what happens when the gopas, the elder gopas, the cowherd men, they approach Nanda Maharaj after Krishna has put down the hill and everything's back to normal. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, of course, so they approach him and they say, what is it with Krishna? This is amazing what he just did. And he says they couldn't say it while they were under the hill because they were so absorbed in Krishna's sweetness. They were just looking at Krishna and you might say in awe, but in awe of how sweet he was. They were just relishing Krishna under Govardhan Hill. And then when they got out, they thought, whoa, he lifted a hill. What was that all about anyway? So they asked Nanda Maharaj. And of course, what did Nanda Maharaj do? Could, you know, they raise these different questions, but they go through all of Krishna's leelas, starting with Putanan, Shakatasura, and so on. They go one after the other. And they give the whole list of all the amazing things that Krishna did. And they said, and besides, we can't understand why we're so attracted to him all the time. And he seems always attracted to us. He wants to be with us and associate with us. And what is it about him? Who is he anyway? So then Nanda Maharaj, he says, well, in the name-giving ceremony, Garga Muni, he told me this about Krishna. He says, your son is Narayana Sama. He's just like Narayana. And he will protect everyone in Vrindavan. And he has appeared in previous ages. And so, yeah, he's a special person. So he has the power of Narayan in him. So that's the way they might see it. They don't think that he's the source of Narayan, but somehow he's maybe Shakti Avesh. He's been given Shakti by Lord Narayan so he can do all these amazing things. So that the cowherd men, they were satisfied hearing that. And that's what's special about Krishna. So these, well, my point is that we have this kind of mix going on in Vrindavan, that they sometimes hear, you know, it's not an ordinary, being empowered by Narayan to do these really God-like things that he's doing. But at the same time, the sweetness just overcomes them, just like Mother Yashoda when she saw the universal form in Krishna's mouth. So she was seeing, thinking different things. And at first she thought, well, maybe the demigods are doing this to me. They just want to bewilder me. And but then she said, why would they do that? The demigods, what do they have to do with me? I'm just an ordinary lady here in Vrindavan. They don't have any reason to mess with my head. And then she thought, maybe it's some mystic power that my son has. But she didn't think exactly, maybe my son is God. But she was thinking, well, wait, he does seem to have these kinds of powers, so this could be one of his powers. Then, of course, then she just, you know, looked into his beautiful face, and then all these philosophical thoughts went away, and she suckled him, and so on. So this is what tends to happen, even if some little, you know, inkling or remembrance of what someone said about him being God comes up, then it just goes away. It's insignificant. It doesn't matter to them whether he's God or not. For them, he's more than God. Of course he is, in one sense. If you think of Narayan as God, the general picture we have of God, I'd mentioned this before in other religions, especially in the Abrahamic religions, they only see God as far as being the creator. And we might, if we watch stretchy, we might say, well, maybe Vaikuntha, maybe that kind of. But they don't really think about God as a person, really, and we do, as a fully developed person with a personality where you can actually interact with him in great love. But that, of course, that's the highest aspect. Krishna is beyond Narayan because he has that. He has that sweetness which overcomes everything else. And it, even when the thoughts of his godliness or godhood come to mind, then they get washed away, you might say, by Krishna's sweetness. All Krishna has to do is smile, and then that's it. They're goners. They just become absorbed in Krishna. And that, of course, is Krishna's ultimate power. That's the other thing. We think of Aishwarya or power, we think of it as creation. Of course, that is great power to create the material universes. God is so powerful that these amazing universes, we can't even see the end of it, and there are unlimited numbers of them. And they're so insignificant, they're coming out of the hair holes of his body, of an expansion of Krishna. So that's the great power that Mahavishnu has, but just imagine Krishna's power. But he doesn't display it like Mahavishnu. He displays it in his interactions with his devotees. Once they see Krishna, once you get to Krishna, you never give him up. Prabhupada used to present this as a challenge when people would say, you know, I saw Krishna last night, he appeared to me in my bedroom. But the Prabhupada said, no, if you see Krishna once, you will always see Krishna. Because you're not going to wash away that. Sometimes you have most of the time we dream things, but what do we remember? But if Krishna actually comes to you in a dream, in the way he does to the liberated souls we hear about, in Chaitanya Leela and other those appearances of the Lord, you don't forget that. You always see Krishna. You keep him within your heart. You capture him within your heart. And you never let go. So that's his great power. His sweetness is ultimately his greatest power. So, going back to this point, somehow, on Srila Prabhupada's word, we accept that he has this fraternal relationship with Krishna, how it manifests. Now, the other thing is, when we read about different things about Brahma, we do see a kind of progression going on there, that he's he's seeming to become more and more intimate and seeing more and more of Krishna's sweet side. Just in that Gopal Tapani Upanishad, he's seeing Krishna as Gopavesh. And Krishna's giving him a mantra to chant and giving him instructions on how to chant it and so on. So that's his position, and Srila Prabhupada has presented it here for us. The only place, as far as I know, that this is spoken of. Even I looked at Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, he doesn't make this point. Of course, he's in Madhurya, so maybe Srila Prabhupada is experiencing from his unique perspective. All right, translation again. Oh my Lord, the unborn, you have shaken hands with me, just as a friend does with a friend, as if equal in position. I shall be engaged in the creation of different types of living entities, and I shall be occupied in your service. I shall have no perturbation, but I pray that all this may not give rise to pride, as if I were the supreme. Comments, questions, corrections?
Good evening. So Brahma is engaged in creating the living entities. It's stated he's creating them according to their whatever karma and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So it may seem that you know, we speak about the 8,400,000 species, which is like a set species. But is there anywhere that says otherwise? I mean, like maybe in another Manvantara, he creates different living entities. I mean, you know, because of karma, you think that.
What are you asking? Are there more than 8,400,000?
8,400,000 species. That seems to be like a set species. But within this verse is stating that he created them according to their karma, you know, which means that...
Well, that means he puts them in those different slots according to their karma. And of course, within those, there's unique... Each one of us has a unique... You know, psychophysical nature. So we're all humans, I think, but we're all different at the same time. So that's according to our karma. And Prabhupada, he took that always as this is set 8,400,000. And when I was reading this, I was saying, well, Brahma does it, but he doesn't do personally. He has, you know, we hear how it unfolds, the whole. You know, different, the Manus and their children and how they marry the sages, and the sixth canto we hear about the creation of all different kinds of living entities. So Brahma is overseeing the whole thing, and he's the start of it. He's the Adam in the Adam and Eve story, but he didn't have an Eve. He does it. We hear how Brahma, he creates mental sons from his mind. And different parts of his body, that's also described. From his thumb, he created Bhrigu, I think, And then they marry daughters, daughters of Daksha, maybe that's farther down the line. So it all unfolds somehow. All these species of life. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. This was also a surprising comment about Brahma's relationship. But also I heard that in one of the Brahma's prayers, I don't remember after which Leela, but I remember he praying that I would like to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan,
yeah.
so the gopis could step on me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's could be the Shantarasa, right?
That's interesting, yeah. Lord Brahma, he says, I just want to be a blade, you know. Asamaho charanarenu jucham aham sham. Gulmulatau, let me be an herb or creeper, he says.
Is that Uddhava's?
Oh, is that Uddhava's? Oh yeah, that's Uddhava's, I'm sorry. Brahma's, he has a similar verse. I forget how his goes. I keep coming across it. Tadbhuri Bhagyam, that's how it begins. Yeah. So, I think one way to explain that, I don't know if he's asking to be in Shanta Rasa. He's just expressing humility there. Like, I'm never going to be qualified to be, you know, one of these residents of Vrindavan, but let me just get the dust of their lotus feet on my head. So it's a, just a, seems like an outpouring of sentiment or bhava that's coming out. It's not a specific desire necessarily. Now, I don't know, there may be more to it that I don't know about, but that seems to be the context of it. He's just glorifying the residents of Vrindavan in that mood, he's speaking that way. Which guy could be?
In Bhakti Sankar, he used that term, he understood he was a maidservant. So that's another thing that's rolling.
Right.
So, but he probably said the details weren't given, but they used the word maidservant, maidservant.
Yeah.
So,
maidservant is usually
that,
feminine.
That more confusing or more ecstatic.
Yeah. So that may be for, yeah, Bhakti Siddhanta and the other acharyas.
Gayatri or the Gopal mm-hmm. mantra if you're only neutral.
Well, maybe you don't need it, but it's your meditation. You like it. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Good.